News Talk 790 KFYO 738 Collins and Mack. It's Monday, and you know what that means, Laura. If I can get this out of my throat.
Are you okay?
I was talking to somebody on the phone the other day. They were like, going, "Are you all right?"
I know. A lot of people are struggling right now with allergies.
Yeah. And it is a big struggle when you head south and look to the border. Congressman Randy Neugebauer is on the phone with us this morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Tom. Good morning, Laura. And, you know, Tom, I know you get choked up every Monday when we're on together, but you know, you're going to have to control yourself here.
Yeah. Hey,
am I caller number one?
No. Sorry, oh, man. Geez. You were already on hold when we put the call out there.
Oh man, I love Blake Sunny Ham. That's one of my favorite stops. When yeah. I'm
right.
The
I know they're yeah. good, aren't they?
All right. One week ago today, you know, you left out of town and you went to go to Lackland Air Force Base.
In San Antonio,
and then I guess you know, did you visited the border as well?
No, just went to Lackland because that's where one of our detention centers is, and they've set up a temporary detention center there on the base at Lackland Air Force Base, and they have about 1,200 kids that are housed on the base there. These are 13 to 17 year old kids. And they've processed nearly 3,600 kids through that facility since just May the 15th. And so
wow.
I think it gives you a perspective of how big a flow of these kids they are. So that really puts them on track, Tom and Laura, to maybe process 30 or 40,000 kids, you know, this year if things
wow.
continue at this pace.
Okay. Now, hey, Randy, just posing the question. How long has this detention center been in operation? Because, you know, I know a lot of people are just now becoming aware of this. I mean, you know, in recent weeks. This thing just didn't spring up. And the thing is the detention centers in other areas of the country, they just don't send kids on, you know, cram them on buses and fly them somewhere. This stuff's already been, you know, pretty much predetermined, hadn't it?
Yeah, and Tom, you make a great point. Is we've had a flow of these kids before. This is not a new phenomenon. What's a new phenomenon, though, is it levels that's unprecedented. You know, I think the number a few years ago was maybe 10 or 12,000 of these what we call unaccompanied minors. You know, now they're predicting that we could have seen 70 or 80,000, and a lot of people think that the reason that we're seeing this flow is that, one, we're not enforcing the law, we're not securing the border, and the word supposedly in South America and Central America is that if the kids can get here, that this administration is going to let them stay. And so we had some permanent detention facilities, and now because of the huge influx of kids, they're putting some, you know, standing up these temporary facilities, and Tom looking for additional facilities because they think the flow is going to continue.
Wow. Mm-hmm. All right, if you'll hang with us just for a minute, we'll be back at 7:42. Good morning. News Talk 790. Good morning. It's Monday with Tom and Laura. Randy Neugebauer on the line with us. Randy, welcome back to the program. If you're just joining us, we are talking about, or have been talking about, the border problem and the illegal aliens that are coming across in the detention centers.
Yeah. What kind of conditions are you finding at the detention center there?
Or I think you'd be pleased. I mean, obviously it's not Rich Carlton, but the Health and Human Services has put personnel there. FEMA's got personnel there. They've got doctors there. They've got set up a clinic. So the kids are given medical screening when they get there. And they have, you know, accommodations, dormitories. They're giving them, doing some, evaluation of their mental health. They're seeing attorneys to let them know what their rights are. I mean, so the kids look pretty good. They get free clothing when they get there, and so the kids had fresh clothing on, and they're being very well taken care of.
I got to ask you, Randy, as far as this goes, I know that the president's asked for about $3.7 billion in aid, and some of that's going to be dedicated to, I guess, National Guard and things like that. But a lot of these people aren't even coming from Mexico. They're coming up from, you know, other South American countries. Is there a way that we could just kind of put a stranglehold on these other countries instead of having these people ship them up here and say, hey, you know, if you don't stop this and if you don't control your own borders, we're not going to recognize the North American Free Trade Agreement?
Well, Tom, there's a lot of discussion about what we do, and you're exactly right. We do need the cooperation with the South American countries that these folks are coming from. We also need help from Mexico. Their back door is wide open, and so these people are able to move into Mexico and position themselves to come into this country illegally. But the other thing we're going to have to do is we're going to have to put the manpower on the border and turn these people around and not let them come into the country and stay here. What really disturbed me is they are releasing these kids, over 50% of them, to people that aren't even citizens of this country. And so you've got people that aren't citizens. They release these kids to them with the understanding that they've got to come back for a deportation or an immigration hearing. And you know what? They're not showing up.
Yeah, I heard.
That is according to a 2008 law. I mean, it requires the United States to provide full immigration hearings for these unaccompanied children.
Yeah, but I think what he was saying was is about half of them aren't showing up for the hearings.
Right.
Yeah, we're turning them over. You know, Laura, the problem is we're turning them over to people that are already in this country illegally. We're going to have to do is change that law and turn those people right around at the border because we just don't have the infrastructure to process 80, 90,000 people. And so one of the things that's being discussed is, to beef up the border and make that a deterrent, but really to start to turn around and within 72 hours, those kids are back in their home country. And what that does is that begins to send the signal, hey, these parents saved up money, $2,000, whatever it is, to pay the coyote to take their kids 5,000 miles, and that's a lot of money to those families, and thinking that they were, going to provide a better life for them, and all of a sudden those kids are knocking on their door, and they're being sent back. That's the only way we're going to really stem the tide here, because the word out in South America is, if you get here, you can stay. And what we need to send the word, if you come, you're going home.
Is there any way that our government can work with those other governments, El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras? I mean, those are the countries that have the problems that are making people flee their countries.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to have to work with them. And obviously, we can't impose ourselves on those governments, but what we can do is, obviously offer some assistance, but the same thing is we're going to have to, take away some of our assistance to some of these countries if they're not going to help, police this, because I think you've seen some of the video that I've seen. You got these kids riding on top of trains. Well, I mean, it's not like they're hidden. So somebody has to say, hey,
right,
we got these kids on the train. We got to get these kids off the train.
Yeah, hey, Randy, real quick, we got a couple of calls on the line. Let's go to David. Is that okay?
Okay.
Right before we go to the break, David, you're on with Randy.
Yeah, hey, morning. You know, I'm kind of bugged by this whole issue because, as I understand it, first of all, the immigration is way down. It's down two-thirds. So this measly amount of people coming across the border is, as I understand it, it's now 300,000 a year versus 1 million a year just a couple of years ago. So everybody's getting squawked up about something that's already down, yet they're trying to create new bureaucracies. So you know how government is always trying to get itself bigger. Even though the numbers are down, they're trying to create new bureaucracies about how to deal with these kids. Now, the other second thing I was hearing is that what's going on in those Central American countries is we're exporting all of these drug gangs back down there. We're deporting these old gang members, right? So we're exporting business knowledge, like business training in creating new drug gangs, right? So rather than have some jobs for them to go to down there, they're creating gangs down there. And thanks to our failure of a drug war that's now gone on for 30 years, that's been a failure from the start, we're continuing with the drug war, and then we're making this worse because kids have got to flee 5,000 miles to think that they're going to come to a country that once was free, but now we've got a pack of bigots on the border saying, no, we're not free, and we're going to make we're stingy with freedom. So this is all a bad deal. We got to get rid of the drug war, and we got to stop listening to liars trying to create new bureaucracies to tell us that America is no longer free.
Hey, David, we're running up on a break. Let's let Randy respond to that. Thanks for your call. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Randy.
Yeah. I think makes your point is that the drug cartels are very active in the Central America. They're active in Mexico. And that is a continuing problem. One of the things that we have tried to do is for these countries, and I think it was a point that Laura was trying to make, we have tried to help those countries develop economies in their own countries that are not directly tied to the drug business in those countries, and help them develop an economy and, you know, agriculture and other things so that they can provide opportunities for their own people. And not causing those people to want to flee
right.
those countries. And so that's, you know, a part of maybe this long-term solution. But right now we've got to work on the deterring those people
right.
from trying to come into our country.
Hey, Randy, if you hang on, we're going to hit the break. We'll be right back. Randy Nagabara with Collins Mack on Monday. Thanks for listening. 7:58, let's go straight to the line. Mike, you're on with Randy.
Having lunch with my brother Saturday, who is an immigration judge in San Antonio.
Got 30 seconds.
Okay, he said, if everybody reports back like they're supposed to, it's still going to be years and years before they're ever sent home. And he's been hearing cases just constant, but
wow.
has not even heard one of a minor yet. They're all adults.
Wow.
They're not even doing the minor. And he says if they report in like they're supposed to, it's going to be years.
All right.
Years. Okay.
Hey, Mike, thanks for your call, man. What do you say, Randy?
Well, I think he makes a good point. It's a point that we've heard. We're going to have to do two things. One, we're going to have to change the law to where we just turn these people back around. And secondly, you know, maybe put some additional resources for immigration judges to process these people a lot faster. And he, his brother or brother-in-law, I can't remember which.
5 seconds.
Just seeing the people that are showing up. And so, again, got to secure the border.
Hey, Randy, thanks for your call. I appreciate your time this morning. Have a great day.
Thank you.